This is a NorCal sailing podcast. When out racing his yellow El Toro or the yellow modified Santana 27 Arcadia, Gordy Nash always seems to be out in front. We talked to Gordy about the birth of Arcadia and how to fix up an old boat to fit your needs. It sounds easier than it really is.
I wanted a boat and go out and play with all my friends, but I'm an hourly wage guy. Have a lot of money, so the idea is take an old boat and rebuild it. There are a lot of good old boats out there. I went out looking for the Santana 27 because I had lunch with Jerry Mull before, a month before he died, and told him that if we take a boat and make a longer water line, make a deeper keel, lighten the boat, put a little more sail area on it, it'll go faster. He said, any design can. So he spread out the plates, got a new napkin, place mat, started drawing that boat. You want the Arcadia. You want this, I gotta have a plum bow. Gotta have a little scoop back there and a bulb keel and a fractional rig and all that sort of stuff. So called him up and said, well, I think I know where I can find one of these boats. Let's do something. And his wife said, well, he died. I continued with the project. Once I found this boat, the kind of boat I was looking for was just a hull basically. And that's what I got for the house. I sold the engine and sold the mast. And kept two of the winches, but kept the hull and the original windows. Everything else was pretty much new. So this way, I started with a real boat and chopped up what I didn't want, added what I wanted. It makes sense. Took the boat from Stockton and put it up at Napa Marina for a year, for a summer, to dry it out because it was wet inside. So it sat up there for a year, and I brought it down here in the fall and unceremoniously dropped it in the mud off of a trailer, blocked it up, got it level, and then started with a sawzall, started chopping everything apart. The harbor master at Schoonmakers said to the harbor master of Richardson Bay, and the guy at Richardson Bay harbor master primarily just puts boats in dumpsters, makes sure that he's cleaning up the bay. So they look at each other and say, well, can you get rid of this after Gordy's interest? And then a month later, the deck's over there, transom's over there, and the cockpit, the keel's gone, and things of shambles. It's just all torn apart. And their comment is, well, Gordy's making it easier for us to put it in a dumpster. He's going to lose interest with this. Finally got the bow done and the stern done and the interior, and then I took it over to Spalding's to put the keel in it and put a coat of rollered on paint real quick just to make it see what it looked like. Put it in the water, and then I actually sent a picture of the boat in the water to the original owner. I said, this is what I've done with your boat. He says, that's not my boat. It can't be. So I started with $10,000. And I knew if I had a war chest of 10 grand, I could get quite a ways into the project and then close my eyes after that. And I got the boat pretty much done, the hull in the water, ready to build the keel. After that, mast would be, if you get a new boat or rebuilding an old boat, you get mast, electronics, sails, engine, keel, rudder, all those extra parts, head foil, harken roller, furling, that's all going to. Whether it's new or used, you're going to buy all that stuff new anyway. And that was a lot of money. That was a lot more money than building the boat. The basic structure of the boat is still the original boat. It was an inch thick where the keel bolts onto. Solid, no nonsense. The original boat was in the neighborhood of 5,400 pounds. And now it's 4,300 pounds. I saved
almost 1,000 pounds just in the keel. Because you simply take this, it's a straight line graph where if you have X weight at 3 feet, at 6 feet, you can use half as much. And that's primarily what, the boat's almost 6.5 feet deep. You know, 6 foot, I don't know, 6 foot seven, because it gets a little heavier as you put in shelves. And I wanted to have a bigger main and a smaller jib, so I simply designed, in the original boat, I put the mast inside the forward hatch, the hatch that was in front of the mast. So now that's where the mast is. So there's a foot, I think it was 13 inches further forward. It was a lot, because when you add a whole lot of lateral resistance to the bow, the plumb bow, you've got to put the rig forward. So, and it gets lighter, so it's a lot to it. It's not super simple. I drew rigs for a month. Draw it this way and shrink it down and add a little more jib and a little less jib. And it's not easy, but it's just consistently draw one and figure out how it would balance, and it'd be wrong. It turned out that the hounds are 6 inches lower than Gary's original design. But the spinnaker halyard is 6 inches higher, and then you go almost 3 feet, and you get 2.5 feet, you get to the top of the main mast. And it was draw a rig, balance it out, go, no, it doesn't work. Then you draw it again, and lower this, raise that, and put the boom in a little bit, and draw it again. And each time you draw the rig, it gets better and better. I drew one rig that had 525 square feet on it. The thing would fly. Be uncontrollable. But if it were a high-performance hull shape, a rig like that would be appropriate. But this boat, the original boat, for its time, it was a relatively flat, high-performance hull. Ruth's not the biggest person in the world. It's not even 5 feet high. If I put the winch on the cabin top and put the handle in, and I gave her a couple of different steps to figure out the height of the cockpit. So I had her stand where she felt comfortable with the winch. That's where the cockpit is. So, and all the strings are led to the cockpit. But I also moved the tiller forward so I could sit and steer the boat with the main sheet and all the controls in the back end of the boat. And there's enough space for her to sit to the main bulkhead. So you've got all the halyards and all the sheets all go to the top of the cabin top. And I got the main sheet in the backstay and the traveler in the back. So she can, and I put on, instead of 2-to-1, I put 4-to-1 purchases, especially on the pole articulating system. 2 works, but 4 makes it she can pull it. We've got a little bit bigger winch than we needed. We got 32s instead of 16s. So, and then she can, every once in a while, I got to help her with a high speed. Low speed, she can crank the jib in. 6-to-1 main sheet instead of 4-to-1. Traveler's got 4-to-1 instead of 2 or 3. So it's a lot, you really set it up, if she can sail the boat easily, anybody can sail. Always want a double spreader, a swept back. And if you look at the boat, to have the bulkhead at the mast, which is pretty traditional, and then the chain plates further aft, you're looking at 2 separate bulkheads. I simply curved it. So we tie the bulkhead at the chain plates and at the mast. And curving the bulkhead is not something you'd see on many boats. I don't know why, but there's got to be a reason why not to. But it came out, the boat came out solid. Curving the bulkhead keeps it from twisting and folding and all that sort of stuff. So it solved the problem of tying it all together relatively lightly.
And that was constructed from?
I built it.
Out of carbon again?
No. Not really. There's carbon around it.
but it's primarily that 9-ounce Nitex block. There's three layers on both sides of the bulkhead, plus a couple layers of carbon around the outside to tie the chain plates into the hull. First thing I did on the hull was put a balsa core platform, 6 inches wide, where the bulkhead was going to be. Because the boats that don't have cores have the problem of the bulkhead hitting the hull and printing. So I just, first thing I did on the hull was put a balsa core platform, 6 inches wide, where the bulkhead was going to be. Because the boats that don't have cores have the problem of the bulkhead hitting the hull and printing. So I just put this big bulkhead strap, balsa core strap, and then landed the bulkhead on that. So when you hit it now, it's solid for 6-8 inches. I had an 800-pound roll of 9-ounce Nitex, and that's pretty much gone when I got done. But that's all the bulkheads, all the seats, all the structure for the keel, all the from transom aft, all that's new, all the bulkhead in the front of the boat, all that stuff. Once I got the inside of the boat clear, I airbagged on a layer of carbon in the middle of the boat. So whenever I started bonding to it, I knew that I was bonding to the carbon layer that I'd put down. So I wasn't bonding to just the original boat. We went sailing the first time. There was Jim Coggan and Brian and me and Ruth. And so we were out. And at that point, we hadn't even tacked the boat. We were still on starboard tack. And we decided, okay, well, let's see if it'll actually will go on the other board. And we tacked. And the extra battery slid underneath the rolling icebox. And I hadn't finished the bottom of that. And it had a little metal touching. And then the boat started smoking. You were burning up the boat on port tack. But on starboard tack, it wouldn't touch. So I figured it out, put the battery elsewhere. But that was the first time we ran the boat. We couldn't trim the main, and the jib leads didn't work, and the kite was all misshaped because we had the leads in the wrong place. The traveler wouldn't work, so we started working on things. And the mainsail was... the shape was terrible. I actually put in new chain plates. Then the second time was a tri-island race. Just piled everybody on board. We actually got around the course. I don't know, we were 8th or 10th or something. Ruth and I decided we'd go to Paradise Cay because they were going to have a double-handed event. And we got out, and we sailed with a kite all around. We were supposed to be at Paradise Cay at 11 or 12 or whenever they started. And we were having so much fun just sailing around. We were about an hour late to the race, and so we said, well, let's just continue sailing around. Then we went to the Golden Gate, their first race in 06. And we didn't even show up in the Latitude 38 results. It takes a while. Then 07, we started, and we didn't win the race, but we actually got across the starting line and got to the weather mark first. Ah, I thought that was great, and then we broke something and went home. The really fun one was the Rite of Spring. In 07, we broke the steering system. We're flying along, it's blowing 20, tight up. Flying along thinking, wow, it actually is going 10 knots. This is really cool. That's about as fast as I thought it would go. And Ruth says, it's getting hard to drive. Okay, I'll drive. I'm driving. Yeah, it's really hard to drive. And here's this noise. And then there's no response to the helm. We're going to crash. Okay. Which way? I don't know. Is it going to go up or down? And it went down, laid on its side. So I got the kite down and got it all sorted out and strapped a little rope around the tiller, the rudder, and went up to the winches and sailed home. That was the first rudder we broke. But we gave them a good show because we were sitting there.
in the wind with the spinnaker straight out from the masthead. The halyard was just, it was a great show.
But we've learned what the boat does well and what it doesn't do well.
To learn more about Arcadia and sailing in Northern California, go to norcalsailing.com.